I'm excited tonight because we have Brother Ed Earwood to speak for us. I appreciate their ministry, 40 years in Christian education, and they started right here in Little Milton, Florida. And so we appreciate the work that they're doing in the South Carolina Association of Christian Schools, and also his leadership position. He's vice president now of the American Association of Christian Schools. So he's added more to his plate. He probably has more than he can say grace over, right? Most times. So we're glad that they're here tonight. Brother Ed, would you come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart tonight?
John chapter 14, probably a very familiar verse to lead our thinking off tonight. But I want us to focus on this thought. What is truth? What is truth? John 14, verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A lot wrapped up in that statement. Jesus didn't mince words. He didn't add and just say things that were superfluous. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the outfall of that is like any other statement. Ideas have consequences. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Those are the ideas. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's the outfall of that. That's a true statement based on the idea that Jesus just gave to them. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's presently very popular in our culture to look at truth as a personal thing. It's truth to me. Well, I was exposed to that concept a few years ago, and I was a little taken back. I have a family member. She was a young teen at that time. And she said, but Uncle Edward, that's your truth. It's not my truth. I thought, wow, really? Who knew that you could make your own truth up? But that was her concept. By the way, she grew up in a pastor's family. And she makes the statement, Uncle Edward, that's not my truth. So we had a conversation about this matter of truth. And come to find out, that thinking's more widespread than I knew. And so I began to do a little digging on this concept of truth. Now, we don't argue in our church about the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. Nobody seems to buck that. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. If I said, well, Jesus is not the way to heaven, people would say, wow, you're a heretic. He also said he's the life. Most people can quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And he provides for us everlasting life, and we embrace that concept. But something happens, it seems, with this matter of truth. Jesus said, I'm the truth, and people say, well, that's not my truth. They don't want to say, that's not my eternal life. They don't want to say Jesus is not the way, but the truth can be a personal thing. And so I want us to think a little bit tonight about what makes truth. What is truth? I'll present just a couple of concepts to us that I think will help us. Three ideas about truth. Number one, truth is external. When you say, what do you mean by external? Psalm 117, there's a portion of it that says this. I think I can read you the entire psalm. It's pretty short. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. By the way, the psalmist says this, praise the Lord that truth is always true. It endures forever. And we'll get to that concept in a minute. But it's the truth of the Lord that endures forever. It's not my truth. It's external. It's God's truth. Truth is not truth unless it's always truth. Truth is external to us. Deuteronomy 32:27 says this, "The eternal God is our refuge." And Psalm 90, verse 2 reminds us that from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. And God says, it's truth. What makes it truth? What makes it truth is that it's external to me and you. Truth is only truth if it's external to humankind. I'm ashamed to admit a few things I've done in my life, but I remember as a kid, my brother and I got this idea. You know, my brother was, he would think of a billion ideas, but sometimes he wanted somebody else to try them out for him, okay? And he said, you know what? I don't know this Isaac Newton guy, but I don't know if gravity always works. Do you think it does? Okay. I'm like, well, you know what? I've never seen anything fall upward. And I remember he said, you know, the barn back in the back, I think we could jump off that barn. And it's possible that we wouldn't fall to the ground at a high rate of speed. And it was had a tin roof on it. He said, better than that, why don't we just slide off the edge of the barn? And we did. Okay? I was thankful it was only about 15 foot high. Because you know what? Everybody I ever saw slide off that barn roof went straight to the ground. You say, but I wanted to fly. It doesn't matter what you want to do. Gravity is a truth laid down by God, external to people. Every truth is laid down by God, external people. You may say, well, I know some facts. Facts can change. Truth doesn't change. It's external to human beings. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 18 says, "Love not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." As a matter of fact, the things that we enjoy on a personal level are not even capable of happening minus truth that doesn't change. Catch what the scripture said. If you love someone, you have to love them based on truth. If you love based on fact, fact might change. But when you love based on truth, truth is external to me and you. And truth is not going to change. So external truth. It's eternal as well. Think about that. It's eternal. It can't change. Now, what do we mean by eternal? Well, just that. Didn't have a beginning. It originated with the God of heaven. And it will always be. So an eternal truth and an external truth. Truth never originates with man. Proverbs 12:15 reminds us this. The fool, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Yeah. Things that originate with me may sound good. They may actually, by dumb luck, work, but they're not truth. You can't sit down and announce your own truth. First of all, if truth was eternal, it needs to be eternal, and it started with me, it's already disqualified. Because I'm not eternal. I had a beginning. So truth has to be eternal, and it has to be external. As a matter of fact, the Lord practiced this in His teaching. He reminded His disciples in a couple of passages. First of all, He said in John 16:13, He's getting ready to leave them, and He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who He described as a comforter. He says them, even though they cannot presently understand everything that He would like them to share with them, He reminds them that when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. In other words, he said, you'll never figure it out on your own. Eternal truth is external of human beings, and left to ourselves, we won't even figure it out. You'll have to have a Holy Spirit to explain it to you. John 5:31, Jesus boldly states, he said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That's a bold statement. If I only bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He's reiterating this principle of truth, that while eternal, it is also external to man. The people in John chapter 5 were looking at Jesus as a man. And he said, it's not enough for another human being to bear witness of truth. Jesus was just human to them. And therefore, he said, oh, but it must be born external to me. God, the Father, recognized that. At the baptism of Jesus, God the Father announced his pleasure with it. It wasn't enough that Jesus was just announcing that he was baptized. God the Father did that. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In other words, there was a testimony that the things that people were seeing were external to the God of heaven. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I come to do the will of my Father. You see me as flesh and blood, but I am more than that. But the testimony is that I do something that's external to this human flesh and blood. It's eternal and it's external. Now that takes us to the third principle, and that is this. Truth that is external and eternal should, as believers to us, become internal. We should internalize truth that is otherwise external and eternal. In other words, our job is not to sit down and concoct ideas. Our job is to search the Scripture, find truth, and internalize it. So it's eternal and external before it becomes internal. Now you can flip any radio station, especially a religious station, or any television station, a religious station, and you can find a lot of people that are teaching truths that they recommend that you internalize. They've got an answer and a self-help for everything under the sun. The only problem is their answers must first be evaluated on the fact that they're eternal and external. If the guy talking to me on the radio is the one that thinks it up, I'm probably not impressed. It's not external. It's just thought up by another human being. Now, there's nothing wrong with having ideas and solutions to things, but those are all temporal. We're looking to truth that is external to us and eternal before we begin to internalize. By the way, one of the difficulties we're having on our college campuses now is that we are finding that young people 18, 19, and 20 years old show up with a lot of internalized truth that's not truth. It's their truth. And when you begin to teach them truth, they're going, that's not my truth. My truth is, and it's difficult, they've already internalized what's not external and eternal. And that's a challenge. They've been brainwashed in an educational system that says, do what you want to do. Your idea is as good as the next person's idea. Truth should become internal. John 17, Jesus prays for his disciples, and he says this in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is praying to God the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. External to him, by the way. Thy word is truth. We live in a culture where this word is under great attack. As a matter of fact, I don't know many people who wouldn't tell you it's a good book. But it has to be eternal. And it has to be external for to qualify for me to internalize it. The psalmist said this, what? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Why would you hide something that's not truth in your heart? Somebody that believes a lie, we call them deluded. But we have this idea that truth is personal. 1 Kings chapter 17 records the interesting story of a widow and her son that are caught in the midst of a famine. Elijah has pronounced that it wouldn't rain until he prayed for it to rain. Elijah interacts with this lady, and he makes some significant asks. You'll remember, he said, I know you're going to make food for you and your son, and then you think you're going to die, but tell you what, you need to make me a cake first. And you remember the lady did that. She followed the instruction of the man of God. And in exchange for that, you'll remember that her meal and her oil never expired. As long as there was a famine, she had just enough meal and just enough oil for another meal. Sometimes we forget that the story doesn't end there. A little later in the story, the widow that was used to meet the needs of Elijah, her son died. And the widow came to Elijah and said, what is this? I was faithful. I did what I was supposed to do. What good does it do if my son survives the famine if he dies? And Elijah prayed. And God restored the life of her son. Verse 24 accounts it. And it says this, a very significant statement. Now by this I know that thou art a man of God. Wow. Think about what she said. I provided a cake for you. I thought you were the man of God, but now I know you're the man of God. That the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Wow, what a statement. She said, I thought you were the man of God, but now I listen to what you're saying to me, and you're speaking to me the truth. John 8:32 tells us that if you know the truth will make you free. The idea of truth has consequences, and the consequence is that truth sets you free. Now, with that in mind, let's think of just a couple of other applications. First of all, Romans chapter 1, verse 18, we find that God will reveal His wrath upon those that hold the truth in unrighteousness. They take the truth and demonstrate unrighteousness. In other words, they see the truth. They're demonstrated the truth, but they reject it as truth. They hold it as unrighteousness. The implication here is not that truth originates with man, but that man, once truth is revealed to him, eternal truth, external truth, it originated with the God of heaven. It's always been truth. Man is now choosing to live in direct contradiction to that truth. Man is not holding these truths, the word holding there, he's not internalizing the truth. He sees that it's eternal. God's announced to him that it's external to him. Paul's not deciding what the truth is. But man refuses to internalize it. And he's not adjusting his lifestyle. Rather, the man has known the truth, and he's chosen to rebel against the truth. And if you read the rest of that chapter, he chooses his own truth. And the result of choosing our own truth will be the judgment of God. So what is our goal? What's our application? First of all, we have to know the truth. We live in a society that knows very little of the truth. I asked a group of pastors some while back, I said, suppose that you went into your church on a Sunday morning and you announced to the congregation there were going to be no preaching that day. And what you wanted them to do was to pick up a piece of paper that you had laying on the pew there. And there were 20 Bible truths stated on those pages. You wanted them to read them and write yes or no if they agreed with them. But if they did, to list you one reference or quote, write one verse that would prove that truth. You're going to give them 30 minutes to do that. How many truths would most people walk out of? I suggested the average congregant would get 15%. Most of them said that I was overshooting the mark. Don't think it'd be that high. In other words, we don't know the truth. Oh, we have an idea. We've heard somebody teach it to us. We may have heard it in Sunday school. But we don't know it. Until we have it from God's Word, it's not external to us. It's eternal and external, or it's not worth internalizing. So know the truth. It means we're going to have to commit to reading and studying and to memorizing the Scripture, the truth. Secondly, we have to live the truth. This idea that we can choose our own truth is ridiculous. It's really not truth. I was pointing out to my niece in a conversation a number of years back now, and I said to her, I said, but Margo, if it's your truth, it's not truth. That's an oxymoron. It can't be yours and it can't be truth at the same time. You can call it your idea, your thought, your preference, but it can't be yours and be truth. So we're going to have to live not our preference and not our idea. We're going to have to live truth. And then finally, we're going to have to teach truth. Teach truth. It's not ideas. It's not preferences. Oh, you have to have those. If you're going to dwell in a household together, there's going to be some things that are just preference. And I understand that. But we're failing our children and our grandchildren if we send them out without teaching truth to them. They can learn how to make a living later in life. If they don't learn truth, they're probably not going to learn it down the road. We have to teach the truth. If you read the Old Testament, especially God's instruction to the Jews, Deuteronomy, He repeatedly says to them to teach the truth. Teach these truths. What are we doing to teach truth? What about in our own home? Do we discuss things that are truth or our ideas, things that we prefer? We live in a climate that the go-to answer to everything is, well, what do you think about that? We settle everything by taking a poll. By the way, if you want to find truth, flip the news on, read the poll, turn it upside down, you'll be right more often than you aren't. Polls are wonderful tools, but they're not truth. They're just a collection of human ideas and thoughts. Truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So when a person's truth disagrees with God's truth, then the person's truth is found wanting. Personal application, and that is this. How many times do we measure our own thoughts by the truth? When was the last time you sat down and you had an idea and you thought, I wonder what the Bible says about that. Let me get in and dig and see what the Scripture says. Truth is our friend. but we only internalize what the Lord announces is eternal and external. We must commit it to our hearts, internalize it. We have to learn it, live it, and we also have to teach it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. And Lord, I pray that you would etch into our minds the importance of the truth, that which sets us free. Thank you, Lord, that you came in the flesh. You were our way, our truth, and the life. And Lord, I pray that we would live in such a way as we reflect the truth of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.